In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today is Trinity Sunday. And this is supposedly one of the most difficult sermons to preach. That is, if one preaches about Trinity Sunday. If you haven't noticed, after these 4 years, I am not a theologian. I mean, once I found out what exegesis of the scripture was, I did pretty okay. But I would not ever call myself a theologian. And by the way, exegesis is the critical explanation or interpretation of the text. And why they just don't say that, I don't know. It actually took me a whole semester to figure out exactly what it meant to exegete. And it sounded a little unseemly to me, sort of like when someone told me they had Googled me. But I do love numbers. And three is among my favorite ones, since it is so magical. The Holy Trinity aside. I mean, even the guy who wrote Schoolhouse Rock said it was magical. Remember that song? Singer, songwriter, and recently deceased at the age of 93, Bob Doro penned the first song for Schoolhouse Rock. And yes, it was about the number three. It referenced its relationship to all sorts of things, including multiplication. Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic Trinity, you get three as a magic number. As I recently was thinking about this sermon, I told a friend who was a math econ major that I loved the number three and how it worked in multiplication. She didn't know about it, and so I was able to explain something to her. That doesn't happen often. We went to law school together, and now, 31 years later, she still remembers what we were taught in class, and I can barely remember the names of my professors. And you know, I was going to tell you during this sermon about the magic of the number three, and how it's divisible by certain things, and you know, right off the bat, but I figured if I were you, I would totally ignore me for the rest of this sermon, and I would play the game. So I'll tell you after the service if you'd like to know. Or maybe during announcements, and then if you don't pay attention to the consecration, it's my fault. There is a lot of magic to the number three, since it is Trinity Sunday. But I personally am more adept at talking about the Three Stooges, which back to law school, I watched every Sunday morning before going to the library. I even know a little bit about the Three Musketeers, and I can talk about the Supremes, the Diana Ross version, even though I do know a little bit about the other Supremes and am actually a member of that bar. And they are a multiple of three. Those of you who know me know that I could go on and on with this, but I won't. Okay, just one more. Scripture, tradition, and reason. And now we're talking about religion and back on track. I can't say that I really am up to the task of preaching about the triune God in an expositive way. And again, a big word that's just fancy to say that I don't think that I am the one who can peel away the layers of misunderstanding around the Trinity and provide clarity. The triune God, that is complicated stuff. And there are some things that the nuns told me are meant to be a mystery, so I vote for this as being one of them. Or maybe it isn't so complicated. Maybe we are overthinking this. One, God always has been. Two, God still is. Three, God always will be. So if you don't remember anything about today's sermon, today's service, leave this place knowing that 3 is a magic number. All of it wrapped in a mystery, of course. Talk about the magical mystery tour. Let's talk about the reading from Isaiah. I have learned over the years that there isn't a lot of fact to the scriptures. I mean, even that genealogy part has a purpose. Even though most of us feel like poking out our eyes when it comes to having to sit through those particular readings, there is a purpose. Today's Old Testament reading begins with the mention of the death of King Uzziah. Folks, that is not a throwaway line. That one line provides an incredible lesson for all of us. The good king was basically that, a good king, until he wasn't. He came to the throne at 16 and embarked on an ambitious program of building, economic development, and expansion. He secured his borders, fortified Jerusalem, built up his army, improved agriculture and the water supply. He did a lot of great things as king. And then he died a leper. But why? Well, good, bad King Uzziah sinned. His infraction may seem like crazy little, but we are meant to understand that he flouted the law. He had a dispute with the priests over the right to burn incense in the temple, and he entered into that holy space. I'm not suggesting that you never want to dispute a priest. I'm not saying that. But the law said that only priests were allowed in that space. So he flagrantly disregarded God's law. And what mattered was that he was compelled to do it not to glorify God, but just because he could, because he was king. You know how pride goeth before the fall? Well, that's this story of King Uzziah. He thought he was all that and a bag of chips, and then learned of his place in the scheme of things the hard way. After the death of the king who thought he did it all on his own, Isaiah had a vision of the one true God and is called to follow. And that is what today's Old Testament lesson is about, that vision. Probably one of the most important pieces of scripture from Isaiah and about Isaiah. It's the story of his call. And knowing the old king's transgression is an important juxtaposition to that vision. Remember when I said that there wasn't a lot of fat in the scriptures? Remember the lessons where the entirety of the temple is sketched out in mind-numbing detail in cubits, for God's sake? Well, the purpose of that was to create on earth the image of the heavens. And the throne is one of those images. It is one of the most glorious and evocative in all of Scripture. It denotes authority, power, majesty, and splendor. In the vast majority of cases, the references are positive, referring to the benevolent power and splendor attendant to the human throne, or to an infinitely greater degree, the divine throne. When it comes to the earthly throne, the authority and majesty are that of the king. And the king is God's representative. And the king's throne typifies the heavenly divine throne. And as such, the throne and the occupant are to emulate God's character and commandments. But we already know that Uzziah disregarded those commandments. And he disregarded his people. Do you remember all those positive things that Uzziah did? Well, I guess he thought that he had done all of those things alone, and that God had nothing to do with it. God apparently was not the source of his rising to the throne. His gifts for leadership, for military prowess, or his intelligence. And I guess he thought that all of those changes that were made under his leadership just magically happened, not on the backs of the citizens. He seemed not to recognize that without the people power, he would not have been able to accomplish the building of his community. Nope. It all just happened somehow. And he thinks he is magical, the center of it all. And when we start thinking that, then certainly one is the loneliest number. I am reading a book entitled Unselfie. Selfie syndrome is the phrase the author has coined in response to the craze of self-absorption. The condition is all about self-promotion, personal branding, and self-interest. What happens when we are unwilling to acknowledge the greater power in the universe, the one whom we call God? What happens when we are caught up in ourselves and exclude others' feelings, needs, and concerns? Well, unlike King Uzziah, we won't get leprosy. But that behavior can spread a sort of disease and dis-ease. And it can permeate our culture. It has the ability to slowly erode the foundations on which we stand in community. The story of Isaiah's call is our unselfie from Scripture. In the reading from Isaiah, God sits on the throne, and Isaiah revels in God's presence, recognizing that the one who belongs on the throne is God, recognizing one's place in the world order and our human limitations in the presence of the divine, recognizing that it is only through God that we can be made whole, recognizing that God calls us to care for each other, recognizing that caring for each other is the way to bring heaven to earth. Recognizing that it is a union with God and one another. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. The whole earth is full of His glory. Am I not asked to love God and love you? Isn't that my call? Isn't that your call? Isn't that our call? God, you, and I. One, two, three. The magic and the mystery of the number three. Amen.